It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Yesterday, the ACT Party held their annual rally called the Free and Equal Rally. Notably, US author James Lindsay was a keynote speaker at the event. Lindsay is the author of Cynical Theories, How Activist Scholarship Made Everything About Race, Gender and Identity, and Why This Harms Everybody, among other titles such as Race Marxism, The Truth About Critical Race Theory and Praxis, and The Queering of the American Child, How a New School Religious Cult Poisons the Mind and Bodies of Normal Kids. Party leader David Seymour says Lindsay is a prominent advocate for free speech. Prior to the event, a spokesperson for the party said Lindsay would discuss reclaiming liberalism in an age of extremes. For a weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party Simon Court about the rally, why the party chose Lindsay as a keynote speaker, and we addressed some of the concerns with Lindsay's previous comments. We also discussed the first public hearings into the Royal Commission of Inquiry into the former government's COVID-19 response, and what to expect heading into the next hearings in Wellington next month. But first, we discussed ACT's 2025 Free and Equal Rally. How was the 2025 ACT Party Rally?
Look, it was fantastic. We had almost 500 paying guests come to hear updates from ACT ministers, Brooke Van Velden, about what she's doing around the labour laws, from Nicole McKee about cracking down on crime and cutting the red tape around the anti-money laundering laws that make it really complicated to transact property, and from Karen Chua about what she's doing to promote the care and protection of young people. And I had an opportunity as Undersecretary for Resource Management Reform to talk about the work we're doing, the progress we've made in kind of panel beating the RMA, you know, that lemon that we're stuck with for a little bit longer, what we're going to do when we introduce legislation later this year to create a separate planning act for planning and development and a separate natural environment act so we can actually focus on and protect the environmental values that Kiwis all agree that we want to protect.
At this year's rally or AGM, the party invited US author James Lindsay as a keynote speaker. Why choose Lindsay for this role?
Well, Lindsay's speech was fantastic. It was about reclaiming this concept of classical liberalism in an age of extremes. He spoke about why liberalism is actually the best way of ensuring that, you know, we can flourish, we can create wealth and solve our problems. And he also warned about the dangers of judging people and treating them differently based on their background rather than what they do and say. And, you know, James is one of those people who really shines a bright light on what is good and what is possible and what are some of the dangers lurking out there around, you know, what's happening in academia in terms of, you know, cancel culture and shutting down debate and this concept of settled science. It was really, really good to hear his perspective from the US.
Lindsay has a history of making conspiratorial and controversial statements, such as referring to the LGBTQIA plus community as groomers, calling the pride flag the flag of the hostile enemy, has said there will be a white genocide if critical race theory isn't stopped, has pushed the cultural Marxism theory, among other things. How does the ACT Party feel about platforming conspiracy theorists?
Well, we're tired of this cancel culture and the kind of ideological purity tests that people on the left try to apply to others. You don't have to agree on everything that someone says to find value in listening to them. And what was really interesting about what James Lindsay said was that societies progress best when people are able to trade value for value, not to see the world as a zero-sum game where what I get is because somebody else has lost something, that actually if we approach problems as individuals with, you know, all of our innovation, all of our ideas, we can solve them together and then go our separate ways, having taken more value away from that interaction than simply trying to say, well, can the state take something from them to make me better? That's not going to work anywhere in the world. It's certainly not going to work in New Zealand. And James Lindsay was really helpful in pointing out some examples that illustrate that.
Does the ACT Party align with Lindsay's views regarding the LGBTQIA+ community, critical race theory, and all his aforementioned statements?
James Lindsay is free to hold his own views. The ACT Party has very clear values, and we are a classically liberal party. We support the rights of individuals to express themselves, and we got a lot of benefit from hearing James Lindsay speak about the things that we have in common.
Are the ACT Party willing to scrutinise any of these comments?
Well, as I pointed out, we don't see the need to conduct ideological purity tests on everybody that we meet with or everybody that we interact with. We don't need to think about, well, is this person pure enough or should we cancel them? And we're not worried about that. We just want to understand what individuals can contribute. What do they bring? Rather than judge them by things that they might have said in the past or things they didn't get quite right.
Are these the type of views we need in Aotearoa?
Well, again, you're trying to get me to apply an ideological purity test. And maybe Lindsay had a point where he said this kind of cancel culture, this cultural Marxism, where, if you don't pass the purity test, you're going to end up in some kind of social gulag. Maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe what we should be doing instead, and I agree with Lindsay on this, is let's listen to individuals bringing their ideas about how to solve society's problems, whether it's about, how do we make housing more affordable, how do we generate cleaner, more affordable energy. These are all real problems to solve. And, you don't need to conduct a purity test on what somebody said once or what they posted on social media to work out if they've got something positive to contribute.
On to our next topic. Auckland has recently wrapped up its first public hearings into the Royal Commission of Inquiry into the government's COVID-19 response. Why are we seeing the second inquiry?
Well, the previous Labor government had very narrow terms for phase one of the inquiry, and they ignored the real pain of lockdowns. They ignored the effects and consequences of imposing vaccine mandates on workforces like police and nursing and defence and education. And they ignored the effects of shuttering businesses that sent people broke and shattered their mental health. And so what ACT said right through the previous government's pandemic response was you need to consider these things as well as the impacts on health from COVID. Labor wouldn't. So that's why we have extended the Royal Commission of Inquiry to look into those really important matters.
This inquiry was a coalition agreement between ACT and New Zealand First. However, opposition leader Chris Hipkins says references of New Zealand First in government during the start of the pandemic being excluded is somewhat unusual. Why has this been excluded?
Well, I'm not aware that things that New Zealand First talked about are excluded. We're just looking into all of the decisions that were taken that affected schools, businesses, social cohesion, the collateral damage on mental health. We want to find out exactly what happened, what decisions were taken that led to certain outcomes. Because one thing I know from my time working in emergency management and disaster response when I worked at Auckland Council is that pandemics are one of the top five natural disasters we need to prepare for, along with cyclones and various things. So we can expect it to happen again. We need to learn so we don't end up with like a Chinese Communist Party response, locking people in their homes, locking the borders and telling people that they couldn't go and spend time with loved ones who are dying. And we can't do that again.
Internal Affairs Minister Brooke Van Velden says expanding the inquiry was to cover outstanding matters of public concern. However, those with long COVID feel as though they have been left out. Long COVID Support Aotearoa spokesperson Catherine Appleby says the inquiry not addressing those with post-COVID conditions is a massive mistake, as those with these conditions were and still are directly affected. Are there plans to address long COVID in next month's inquiry in Wellington?
Look, I'm not entirely sure whether long COVID is in fact excluded. And I guess what you're talking about is people who experience a COVID-19, contracted the illness and still have ongoing symptoms or haven't fully recovered. That's clearly a really important medical issue. I'm sure that the effects of the COVID-19 virus and what it actually did to people in terms of impacts on their health and well-being will certainly be taken into account. What we're trying to find out is this balance. Of course, it was important to protect people from contracting the virus, to protect people who are most vulnerable, whether they were the elderly or had other underlying conditions. But, you know, I think what New Zealanders could all agree on is that the controls had far too much collateral damage. I mean, locking down Auckland for 4 months for one case and then continuing the lockdowns, continuing to run MIQ while there were 15, 20, 30,000 cases in the community, none of those things made sense at the time to me sitting in Auckland lockdown. And they certainly need to be looked into.
Speaking to next month's public hearings in Wellington, how different do you think the public hearings will be there as opposed to up here in Auckland?
Well, it is a Royal Commission, which is the highest level of inquiry, and we expect people to bring their best evidence and to participate in a respectful and interested way, because we want to understand what happened, what decisions were taken by decision makers. That is why the government, that is why the Royal Commission is proposing to invite decision makers, people like Hipkins, people like former Prime Minister Ardern, who were in government. And we hope they turn up. I mean, they would be required to if they're in the country. And this is the effect of a legal summons. These people who claim that they ran the best COVID response ever, they should front up and explain that, you know, maybe some of their decisions had collateral damage. Did they consider that? And if so, you know, what was front of mind when they made those decisions? We need to know, because we expect something like this to happen again. We need to be better prepared.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the party's recent rally, the party's choice of having author James Lindsay speak, and the first public hearings into the prior government's COVID-19 response.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.